I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Perloff, what'd you call it? Our summer fling? We had a summer fling with the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation, and now our fling is now back in October. We got a Browns QB change, we think.
And it's funny. It feels like it's out of nowhere, and we expected it all summer. We were counting down the days until we get to see these rookies, and now that they're here, like, wow, that happened fast.
Yeah. It looks like Joe Flacco is going to take a seat with the Cleveland Browns, and now Dylan Gabriel gets in, which means Shador Sanders is just one play away from him getting an opportunity, or one injury away from getting an opportunity.
That's a presumption, because Joe Flacco could be second string.
Oh, you think so? Do you think they'd go back to Flacco if something happened to Gabriel? They wouldn't try Shador? What's the point of this thing then? Is it to check out the rookies, or is it to just mess around with the depth chart?
I think actually with this particular game is weird. It's Minnesota and Brian Flores, who presumably will torture a rookie quarterback, the veteran defensive coordinator for the Vikings. So I don't understand why they're going with Dylan in this game. And they certainly probably would rather go. I'd go to Flacco second, because Shador against that blitz-heavy scheme, I don't know that either rookie's going to do well here.
Okay, so again, the Browns are on their way to London right now. They're going to play the Vikings this weekend. The Vikings are already in the UK. They played against the Steelers in Dublin last week. Now they're going to take on the Browns. They're coming off of a really tough loss where presumably they're going to have every advantage in the world here, the Vikings. I know they're dealing with injuries.
Well, I mean, their O-line crumbled in real time last game.
They got Darisaw back, but I understand they have some injuries on the offensive line. But you are, and I don't know about what the status of J.J. McCarthy is right now. I'm just assuming it's going to be Wentz. But here's the thing. You have a team that's already acclimated to the time change and the travel.
You're so into that?
Because I watched it a couple years ago when the Jags got to stay there for 2 weeks and my Bills came over for the second week and got smoked. And now you are potentially asking a rookie quarterback who I know has tons of starts in college, Dylan Gabriel, but no starts in the NFL. And you're asking him to go on this like adventure to London and face Brian Flores, and we're not even sure why. What are they really getting out of this? Because this has always been my thing about the Browns, as fun as this quarterback thing has been, especially with Shador in the mix, is it actually about testing these rookies and trying to find your quarterback of the future, or is it about keeping the seat warm for a high draft pick for next year? Because they have that Jaguars pick that they traded with the Travis Hunter pick, but the Jags are off to a 3-1 start. The Jags play in the AFC South. The Jags might have 9 or 10 wins this year. That pick may not be what they thought it was going to be.
Well, that will be worth something. If say it's 23 or something, then that would be not it's not like the 32nd pick. So it's something. But I'm not sure what's a good time to start Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders. You can't go through the schedule and find this. At least you're going against a Minnesota team who's having their issues offensively. You could win this game.
Wins at this point? Is it about wins at
this
point?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Well, here's the thing. You think it's bad for the Browns starting quarterback. Minnesota, if it's J.J. McCarthy comes back and plays this game, he's going up against a ferocious defense. I'm telling you right now, they were a pain in the Lions' neck last week, and that's a great offense. And Cleveland's defense, Myles Garrett and the rest of that D-line is ferocious. So, honestly, I'm more worried about whoever's starting for Minnesota than whoever's starting for Cleveland. Yes, I think Dylan Gabriel will be confused by Brian Flores' defense, but I think they have a great chance to win this game just with defense. Like last week, Vikings had a few turnovers with Carson Wentz. If Wentz is playing, Wentz tends to stay in the pocket too long. It'll take some massive hits. I think he gets some turnovers there. So I think this is going to be a winnable game. Then you go to 2-3. There's enough talent in Cleveland to not tank this season. You have Myles Garrett, the best defensive player in the league. You have some veterans on offense, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku. Quinshon Judkins is promising, the rookie running back. I don't tank. It sounds like you would just start building for the future.
Well, I'm just questioning. Like, I'm questioning when you start a rookie quarterback on the road in a different continent and you're facing this really crazy defensive coordinator who's known to kind of take it out on rookies. He has this sort of Belichick, you know, he was part of the Belichick tree, and he has this in common with Belichick, which is they kind of feast on these younger guys. And I know Dylan Gabriel's not your average rookie because he was in college for 1,000 years, but still, I do think this is tough. And then I'm asking you this question. If it is about wins, if it is about the Browns staying competitive, because you look around the rest of the division and it's crumbling. We'll get to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Latest reports, he could be out 2 to 3 weeks with the hamstring injury, and they're sitting at 1-3. Look at what's going on with the Bengals. We watched them get whitewashed on Monday night in Denver. The Steelers feel like they're hanging on by a thread, even if Aaron Rodgers is playing okay. So there's maybe some wins here on the schedule. Doesn't Shador have the higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel? Didn't we think that going into the draft? Now, we'll see. And obviously the Browns know, you know, and they get the institutional knowledge of being there every day. But wasn't that always part of the Shador, like, crazy story? Was even if you, let's say you don't like his attitude. Let's say he tanked the draft process. Let's say all that stuff is 100% true. And I do believe it, that he did not handle the pre-draft process well. But now we're just into the football aspect, right? Doesn't Shador actually have the higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel? And if you really are trying to win games, wouldn't he be the guy you go to? Oh, screw the depth chart.
Absolutely not. I don't know. Have you seen anyone in Cleveland who says Shador is, like, did you see enough in preseason to think Shador is going to go on some massive win streak with that team? I didn't see that.
Well, I've never heard anybody say that. No one's going on a massive win streak. It's the Browns, after all. I'm asking, well, if Shador has the higher ceiling?
I don't know. I don't think if Shador is a high ceiling guy, because he's not a great athlete. You know, he's not Anthony Richardson. That's a high ceiling. I think he's going to be sort of closer to Dylan Gabriel. He's sort of a middle road. He's going to be a very competent quarterback, right? Not the biggest arm, not the most athletic guy, just has good accuracy. Like, high ceiling. Like, he doesn't strike me as a high ceiling. Like, physically, he's not going to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson.
Obviously not.
So, like, ceiling about
he slipped to the fifth round. I'm just saying, between these two guys, between Dylan Gabriel and between and Shador Sanders, who do we think ultimately is going to end up being the better quarterback?
Well, I would say the draft said Gabriel.
Right, but there was also more to the draft than just talent, because Shador, him falling to the fifth round, was obviously not just about football.
But
if you think it was somewhat about football, it clearly was not all about football.
But are we relitigating August? I guess you don't buy that Gabriel really beat Shador in camp and was better in the preseason. He definitely was better in the preseason, but Shador struggled in his last game.
I think it's going to be difficult. I do. I mean, it's going to be difficult for either guy. I'm looking at how we viewed this going into the draft, and it would have been no doubt, hands down, that Shador has the higher ceiling than Gabriel.
That was 6 months ago.
But Pearl, like, what has changed? Neither of them
have played.
Millions
of things have changed. Shador fell in the fifth round. He didn't impress them in camp, reportedly. And
he's still on the roster, and Kenny Pickett's not.
Yeah, I know, and I'm sure they regret that now. This is definitely should be Kenny Pickett's first start.
Well, clearly, this is why I'm like, do they actually want to win games? Like, and I question that.
But they're not going to go. Going to Shador in this game is not a win now move either, obviously.
No, either rookie is going to have their hands full, right?
But, I mean, I think that they want to see Gabriel, and eventually they're going to want to see. I mean, to get to Shador, you have to play Gabriel for a few games, see how that works. And then I'm not 100% convinced that they're going to be eager to go to Shador. They've been very reticent to play Shador and to promote Shador. He's been sort of relegated to third string his whole time there. But we'll see, Shador. This is just part of the process. So you're going to get, as we both said coming to the season, we're going to get some Flacco, some Dylan Gabriel, some Shador Sanders. And then the season will be over and they'll draft another quarterback. That's what's going to happen.
So they're just keeping the seat warm. The Browns are actually not true in seeing whether either of these guys could be the quarterback
in
the future.
I think they're taking a lottery. They're taking a flyer. They're taking a lottery ticket. And honestly, the other thing is I don't necessarily think this is a franchise that has a plan.
Stop me if you've heard that
before. Yeah, that's it.
But
stop, period.
Do you
see a plan?
Well, I never saw a plan.
Yep.
So I guess here's what I'm asking the audience. Forget all of the attitude stuff. Forget all of that and the Dion and everything about Shador Sanders. We're talking about the Browns right now. Do you think, and I know we have a big Oregon audience that's obviously going to back Dylan Gabriel here, so I get that. But who was thought of to be the better quarterback off of their college tape? And Dylan Gabriel had very good college tape, so I'm not asking this rhetorically. But who was thought of to have the higher ceiling, and what's actually changed? Neither guy has started an NFL game. So who actually gives you the better chance to win games? If the Browns are doing this and making this change from Joe Flacco to Dylan Gabriel because they think the season and playoffs or whatever are still a outlier. I don't know. I think they're watching what's happening in the AFC North and they're like, why not? Well, because you could always wait until, you could wait two more weeks. They play Minnesota, then you're home for Pittsburgh. That might be a tough spot for a rookie. You got Miami at New England, at the Jets. Like, there is a lane here to start a rookie if you wanted to give them an air quotes easier task than Brian Flores in London after you.
I think the narrative coming out of Cleveland was Dylan Gabriel's more ready to go. Shador, if you remember his last preseason game, was trying to run around and avoid sacks and took massive sacks and was screwing around. This is not the game for Shador to start freelancing again. And we know the problem with Shador is he holds on to the ball too long and keeps on trying to make a play, maybe because he was trying to win the job in the preseason. But it feels like, you mentioned a higher ceiling, the downside with Shador is much more severe. Dylan Gabriel is just going to get up there and get some passes batted, but I don't think he's going to take 30-yard sacks like Shador will.
Well, he's going to have to move around a little bit, most likely, if Brian Flores is going to bring the pressure. He's obviously the Vikings defensive coordinator, and he's going to be coaching against the Browns offense.
So you just think that Browns were lying when they said Dylan Gabriel is more ready to go? Because they've said that in so many different ways throughout the summer. We came out of the summer, I didn't think there was a clamoring to see Shador after his last preseason game.
Yeah.
They tried to tell reporters that Dylan Gabriel is the better of the two quarterbacks. They keep saying it. He's more polished.
Well,
he's
Shador
ready
got
to go.
Hurt also. So that set him back with the core injury. But no, this is...
Even before that, though, I think the Browns were pretty consistent. Like, Shador never even threatened him on the depth chart.
You just asked me, does it look like the Browns have a plan? I never trust the Browns. I don't trust what they say. I don't trust what they're doing. And I think they could have just as easily been like, you know what? Actually, we're going to Shador. They could have...
That would go bad this week. It's probably going to go bad for Dillian, but it'd go way worse for Shador. Shador would try to make a bunch of plays against that defense, and it would go terribly.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So there we go. This was our summer fling, is now back for the fall. The Browns quarterback situation is front and center.
Massive sacks.
Yep.
I don't even know what to make. This game is going to be hideous. Watch that defensive line of Cleveland. Vikings are going to have a hard time blocking this whole thing. And the thing is, if they go J.J. McCarthy, then I think the Browns are favored in this game, right? Like, I think it depends. So if they go Wentz, the Vikings are favored. If they go McCarthy, I think the Browns are favored. So it should be really interesting. But if they go Wentz, it's going to be an adventure. Because he will throw for 300 yards, but he'll throw three picks.
Well, that's the Joe Flacco experience, right? And that's what the Cleveland wanted to avoid. So they're reportedly going to make a change here. It's like, I don't know, all but official, I would guess.
Yeah, maybe they're doing gamesmanship. Don't know exactly how to prepare because they're very different. Three different quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel is obviously short.
Yep.
Joe Flacco is tall and slow. So different.
Sitting duck.
I would leave the decision in the last minute just so Brian Flores, Minnesota's defense coordinator, doesn't know what to do.
So right now the Vikings are 3.5-point favorite, over under 36.5.
Do you agree with me that line would move towards Cleveland if they started J.J. McCarthy? I think significantly.
Yeah, probably. I mean, McCarthy's played like one good quarter.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. But we just couldn't resist with a Browns quarterback story. I mean, we've been waiting for this all year. Couple things. As I'm here on my DraftKings account, seeing that this Rams 49ers line got pretty big. Do you know that the Rams are a 6.5-point favorite tomorrow night? That feels large. And Brock Purdy yesterday said that if the game was yesterday, he would not be able to play because of his toe injury that he re-aggravated. But now that he's got 2 days to prepare, now he's got 1 day, he feels like he could be ready to go.
Right, but I don't even know if that's a good thing. Because Purdy, because of the toe injury, I think, really is erratic. You don't know what you're going to get on any drop back for that guy. I feel terrible for the Niners. Like it's
how
all.
How many quarterbacks are they going to need to get through the season?
How many and how many different other players? Like the receiving core is even worse now. Is there a look? Look at the depth chart. Is there any skill position player who doesn't have red on his name? They are going to just try and run Christian McCaffrey into the ground. The injuries stink, Maggie. It really is kind of frustrating. I know you picked them as a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they started out 3-0, which usually is a formula for Kyle Shanahan to go on a run, but they just can't get the bodies together.
I'm really surprised they're this big of an underdog. I guess that's assuming that Purdy is not going to play 6.5 points.
Well, I mean,
yeah, the Rams are great. I know.
Yeah,
I
you saw it. Purdy last week. Was there anything
terrible.
Scary there?
It was bad, and the Jags defense is very good. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Should the Browns go to Shador over Dylan Gabriel? You can call us up. You can leave your messages in the chat. Just noticing that 49ers Rams line is pretty high. And I just do want to make I want to commend somebody today on the show. An attaboy, if you will. Proud of Manny for showing up today. Walking into the Hornet's Nest, Yankee fan, and he's about to get up and walk away. You're trading Chris. I kind of wish you were on the board. Now Manny's leaving. I kind of wish you were on the board. Chris, you're doing a great job. But I kind of wish Manny was on the board just for the distraction of it. You know, you got to be thinking, where's my Deion Sanders drops? Where are my, you know, Maggie and Perloff making fun of them all the time? Just as a distraction to not remember that you had bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning yesterday down by a run and roll this Chapman close you out.
Also, no outs, by the way.
Yankees, damn it.
What's that?
No outs, by the way.
Shut up, EJ.
Zero outs, yeah.
I was a little worried last night in the group text that it was going to get nasty. And I don't really
EJ,
trust
you came
everybody.
In pretty quick with the Photoshop.
I don't trust everybody in the group text.
But to be honest, this is like this is our sports safe zone. If you can't drop it in the group text, where can you drop it?
If it wasn't Trent Grisham who got the final out, nothing would have happened. But once he got the final out, after all the crap I've heard for 48 hours about Juan Soto and the Mets from this guy, I was like, oh, it's coming.
No, EJ had it in the drafts. But you want to know what I was wondering? I was wondering if Manny was actually going to come in today with the mustache shaved.
Do you want me to just come naked then? Like,
as a Trent Grisham, I was riding with you, man. Like, great season for Grisham. Manny rocking the mustache.
It's not over. It's not over yet, Mac.
Ask Manny. I said, you got a game tonight. He's like, ugh. Yeah, I think you feel like it's over.
Where is he playing?
It's basketball season, guys.
I see you got the Knicks gear on.
It's good
to turn
season.
The page. I mean, you still do have another game.
The numbers.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. I'm not going to shave my mustache. I have Halloween costumes to think about that go along with the mustache. So I'm not going to shave this beautiful rat off of my upper lip,
Wait,
okay?
Were you going to be Trent Grisham?
I'm not going to disclose any of that information. It's not Halloween yet.
All right.
Top secret stuff over here.
Do not shave the mustache.
I will never shave this mustache.
Yeah. That's your superpower, dude.
Indubitably.
Well, it's an attaboy on you for coming in today, because that's a tough one.
It must have been easy for you guys to come in, considering your team isn't playing.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Coming. Kinda.
Yeah.
And the team, our team subtly, not so subtly, our team collapsed over the course of weeks and over basically a month.
I watched Shohei Ohtani hit a 600-foot home run and say, you know what? I'm good.
Did they cancel the Reds Dodgers game and decide to have a home run derby instead? And I didn't get the memo because the Reds pitchers were grooving them right down there for Shohei. That was insane. That second home run is still in the air somewhere.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez is like, yep, I'll take that too. I mean, Hunter Green, remember when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago.
A teenager, right?
And he's from like 15 minutes away from Dodger Stadium too. So
he was serving him up like tacos last night.
I know.
Night.
Was he on the other side? I know he grew up a Dodgers fan, I think.
You're alleging something, EJ? 888-710-4ISN. We'll get into the baseball because day one of the playoffs absolutely delivered. You know, for the Tiger fans out there, sorry, Cleveland Guardians fans, but that was a wild ending with Jose Ramirez getting picked off when he was the tying run at third. That was crazy. Obviously, we had what happened with the Yankees Red Sox.
You're very much wearing Dodger blue. That's if you're on the YouTube stream. Are you jumping on my Dodgers?
No, my second
team?
I can't
do that.
That's
baseball.
Because I'm a real fan, so I can't root for another National League team. But I hate everything in my closet right now. I just hate all my clothes.
Last year's it is Bills colors. Yeah. But you have to admit, like this Dodgers say, I won a bad hit. I'm like, oh, they're winning the World Series. What are we even watching here? They look like a dream team. I feel like I'm watching the 27 Yankees, and the Phillies will play them if they beat the Reds. I want no part of that team right now. Don't tell me about the bullpen. I don't care. When you score 10 runs a night, what difference does it make?
No, everything's great in Philadelphia, especially with A.J. Brown. All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888.
You can't get to me. Go after Manny.
4476. I commend Manny for showing up today. That was brutal. We'll get into the Yankees side of things and how they let that one, I'd say, get away. I mean, they got outmanaged. They got outclassed by the Boston Red Sox. We'll get more into baseball. We've got so much football for you as well. Should Shedeur Sanders be starting over Dylan Gabriel? Browns are making a change, reportedly. Maggie Perloff Show.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I asked a question before the show in the newsroom. Can we do this narrative that Aaron Judge is a choker and Shohei Ohtani is a great postseason player? Because I feel like the two are tied together, but not really. We're kind of caught in limbo here because Judge was 2-for-4. He didn't have the massive runs that Shohei had. But is that instinct right to compare the two in their postseasons? Or is Judge's more on the Yankees as a team that they lost their opener to the Red Sox?
Well, Judge has not been a good postseason performer.
Yeah, I know that.
So
right.
I guess like you could say that he really needs this one to be good. He had a hit in the first inning. He had a hit in the ninth inning. Got on base. Not the home run that you needed, but did get on base. Kept things moving. This was not Aaron Judge's fault. The problem is he's got an elbow injury that's kind of sneaky where Red Sox have a runner who's trying to stretch a single into a double, hit to right field. Normally, Aaron Judge guns that guy out by 4 feet. He could normally gun that guy out at third, but because his arm, he's got to hold up a little bit and allowed a runner to advance, and that ended up being the run that scored. There was more insurance runs after that, but that gave them the lead, if I'm remembering that correctly from last night. So,
yeah, I don't think we're going to get the necessarily, because if they do lose to the Red Sox in this wild card round, I'm not sure we're going to see enough Aaron Judge to continue this narrative that he's like Clayton Kershaw or somebody, all-time great player who just can't perform in the postseason. But it feels like on the flip side, Shohei is the full package.
Yeah.
Like it feels like, I know last year he got hurt, but generally like you could tell like this moment is not intimidating for him at all.
No, now we're just waiting to see what the Shohei pitcher hitter situation is going to be, right? Maybe not for the wild card round, but obviously as we get deeper into the playoffs.
I mean, maybe you're away for that, but he's on track, if my math is right, to hit 643 homers this postseason.
He started with a bang yesterday, leadoff home run. Let's go to Corey, who's in Dallas. We asked the question, Browns making a quarterback change, reportedly. Should they have gone to Shedeur Sanders before Dylan Gabriel? What's up, Corey?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, the Proloff, man, you got to cut Shedeur some slack, man, because when he played with the starters versus Dylan Gabriel playing with the starters, who had a better game and who had better college tape? That's all I want.
Well, Dylan Gabriel's college tape was fine, though, Corey. He was very successful. I mean,
who was better, though, as a player, though, in college?
Shedeur.
I would give you Shedeur. But then again, you know what I mean. Like, is this the game to start Shedeur against a really good defensive coordinator and a good defense in Minnesota, in London? I don't think it's a perfect spot for either.
You got to throw him in the water something. I mean, you might got just throw him in the water. You got to take a leap of faith. If you don't perform, then go to Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, Corey, thank you for the phone call. Good to hear from you. I think that the Browns have to believe this is winnable, right? Even with Brian Flores' defense, I think they're looking at that next game in Pittsburgh. And I know the Pittsburgh defense hasn't been exactly what we thought, but that would be a really hard spot for a rookie on the road.
Well,
this is at least neutral, but see, to me, this is not really neutral because the Vikings have been in Europe for an entire week.
Well, definitely. I mean, the Steelers' defense has been bad. There's just been no way around that. So and they got the Dolphins coming up, too. So that's a nice opportunity for the rookies to play well. I think at Pittsburgh, it's on the road, but Pittsburgh-Miami is a big step down from Brian Flores. That's why I kind of find this a curious spot. But Joe Flacco, he's actually not quite as bad as it looks, but there's something missing there. It's not the magic from 2 years ago at all.
No, it's not. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so are we done talking about the Yankees?
Oh, I got more.
Manny's giving a thumbs up. Now Andrew Bogut's going to come in, get his licks in.
I guess my only question is, I think it might be best for Aaron Judge if the Yankees get swept.
Huh?
Only because he doesn't have to deal with these conversations about is he a choke or whatever, because he played well in game one. If he plays well tonight and they lose, then
it's
the narrative, I don't think it goes away, but I think we kind of just pause on it.
No, Aaron Boone's wearing this one, the manager of the Yankees, for pulling Max Fried after, 102 pitches, where he still presumably had left in the tank. You saw other managers push their starters yesterday with Tarek Skubal, and then in this game, Garrett Crochet, and those managers got rewarded.
That's going to be the question. Is Boone going to survive this? Because it seems like everyone's killing him for the Fried thing. Fried's not typically been a good postseason pitcher, and he was great yesterday. So I don't know if that kind of came into Boone's head that he thought fourth, fifth, sixth inning was a little tough. But, man, you see Crochet go out there and give it everything, and you pull your guy short to go to a guy who has a 9 ERA in September. And Luca and what's his name?
Luke Weaver.
That was tough.
I love New York baseball too, because if he had not pulled Fried and Fried had gotten hit, we would be ripping Aaron Boone for the exact same thing. Be like, Aaron Boone should have pulled the starter. This is
your lineup.
I know the New York baseball conversation. It's the most reactionary fan base on planet Earth. Like whatever happened in the last inning is the truth for eternity. But the broadcast was something interesting. They pulled Fried because, you know, it's a long playoffs and they're going to want him later on. I'm like, I don't know about that. The stats are, if you lose that first wild card game, you're in a desperate situation. Usually the team that wins the first game is going to win the whole little series. If they're thinking big picture where they're going to need Freed later in the postseason, that is a mistake.
Well, later now is going to be April.
Yeah.
if they don't win tonight. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. And, you know, some home field advantages are different than others. You know, the fans in New York will boo anybody. And you have to wonder a little bit if the team is a little tight. Now, you get the home field advantage of literally being up last in the ninth inning. But, you know, playing it in front of that home crowd, especially after the way last night's game ended with that uber disappointment, it's not like you lost 5-0. You had bases loaded, bottom of the ninth inning, no outs, and couldn't do bubkis. That's going to be a ticked-off fan base as opposed to an excited one. Look at Manny right now. He can barely hold on.
Who the bleep is Manny Rodriguez?
Anyway, Bogus is here. You know what I'm talking about. There are different home field advantages. Sometimes the home crowd gets you pumped. Sometimes they make you tight.
Make them tight tonight, boys.
Let's not openly be rooting against Manny. Again, we said this yesterday.
Why not? Because
he's taking it hard.
Specifically, the Yankees as a whole, leave. No. There's no holding back.
I don't want to be 5-1.
I'm a tie.
I don't care either way. I hate the Yankees and the Mets in this building.
Nice hat.
Listen, this is New York sports fans are on a bit of a low point right now after the Ryder Cup going to the possible Yankees loss.
New York kind of embarrassed themselves at the Ryder Cup.
If it goes bad tonight, I'm really curious, like, what kind of fan behavior will we see?
Because I think out in the streets?
I think America's watching. Well, no, at the stadium. I think America's watching New York fans now after the Ryder Cup. So if it really, I didn't notice it was a super negative crowd last night.
They got into it.
I saw Spike Lee looking like he was going to cry.
There no other celebrity there that they could cut away to, by the way?
It's so different. The Knicks get all these A-listers. The Yankees are like one or two random people.
Yeah, it's usually the SNL crew, but I don't know if anyone knows who those people are anymore. This would be bad if both New York baseball teams, who combined spent the GDP of a small country on their rosters, if both teams do not have a baseball game played after October 1st. That wouldn't be good.
Well, it sounds wonderful to me because the Mets aren't involved. They're already out. So getting the Yankees out by Friday sounds like a pretty perfect world to me.
Okay, let's do the update. And I'm sure you're delighted.
I'm definitely not going to mention the Yankees in this.
You are glowing today, by
headlines
the way,
are sponsored
they
by
lost yet.
Prize Picks. Football's heating up, and so is the hard-hitting action on Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Yes, in the Bronx last night, we went from Trent Tanks to Trent Tank Jobs.
He throws. Fastball swung on and missed. He got him. Chapman leaves the bases loaded. And the Red Sox win game 1-3-1 in the Bronx.
That, you might have guessed, is Red Sox radio. Trent Grisham blown away by Aroldis Chapman, the third straight out he got after the first three batters in the ninth inning singled to load the bases. The main Yankee problem last night was Garrett Crochet, the Red Sox ace, retiring 17 straight at one point. He told manager Alex Cora pregame the only reliever Cora would need would be Chapman.
Just being arrogant, to be honest. I didn't actually expect that to be the case, but when he sent me back out there, I was determined to leave it that way.
It was the case because Crochet went 7 2/3, allowing just one run on 4 hits, 11 Ks. Chapman then got the final 4 outs. Far less drama in L.A. as the Dodgers rocked the Reds 10-5, going deep 5 times in their opener, 2 of those homers from Shohei. In the afternoon, the Cubs snuck past the Padres 3-1. Seiya Suzuki, Carson Kelly go ahead back-to-back homers in the 5th. While 4 relievers did not allow a base runner over 4 2/3. Tarek Skubal K'd 14 Guardians over 7 2/3. The Tigers took game 1 in Cleveland 2-1, despite Jose Ramirez getting to third base with nobody out bottom 9. The bad news now for the Yankees, the Reds, the Padres, the Guardians, the game 1 winner has won all 12 wild card series so far, 10 of them ending in sweeps. All game 2s, same schedule today.
I couldn't believe that stat, by the way, when I heard that yesterday. I was like, yeah. Wow, it's only a 3-game series.
You know, so if it's going to be, let's say history, we continue on and it continues to be this overwhelming advantage, right, for the game one winner.
Yeah.
Do you just go back to the one game wild card? I mean, it was such maximum drama. It was horrible when your team was playing in it.
I thought, it's funny, as a sports fan, it was too intense for me. I'm like,
couldn't handle it?
Because they worked for 162 games, and then it's gone in the blink of an eye. I'm actually more comfortable with a three-game playoff.
I like this better, too. Because to me, the one game, what I hated was you have, like, sometimes a 98-win wild card versus an 83-win wild card, and, like, the 83 wild card would win. It's like...
this still happens.
Yeah, but if you got one good starter, like, you get through the game, and then you've moved on, it doesn't show you're a better team. You might just have one great starter. I think this is a little better.
I don't know if this is showing that, though.
I know, everyone, to be fair, I know.
Everyone wins game one.
I think the 10 sweeps might be the more, like, alarming thing. Because even if you got... does the game one winner can win the whole thing, but they were three-game dramatic series, sure. And it was sometimes the better seed, sometimes the lower seed. But 10 sweeps makes it feel like something might be off.
And it has nothing to do with the home field.
I guess
you
not.
You didn't mention that. It's not like it has to be the home team was winning.
No.
Baseball is a no rhyme or reason postseason these days.
Yeah.
And even if you don't have the best start, you might have the best bullpen, or you might just get lucky on a given night. I feel like... how many close games did we have last night? So
three of the four were close.
Yeah, they could all these narratives could change on a dime.
I also feel like when they lose that game one, because they know it's such a short series, I think they're so tight going into game two.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think the pressure of the world is on them. Whereas a 5-game series, 7-game series, you lose game one, you know you got some time to come back.
According to agent Drew Rosenhaus, things went as well as possible for Tyreek Hill during his knee surgery yesterday.
There's no nerve damage, no blood flow issues, no broken bones. The cartilage is fine. The goal is for him to be ready to play next season. It's only one surgical procedure. There was some concern that it might be more than one surgery. But right now, everything went as well as we could have hoped for.
That's Rosenhaus speaking to the ABC-affiliated Miami.
We're getting a flashback to when Drew Rosenhaus was sitting there with Willis McGahee and convinced the Bills to take him despite an obvious leg injury. He's like, John, Willis will be back any day now. And then he missed his rookie season, right?
The fact that we all saw Willis McGahee's bones sticking out of his legs, basically.
Drew's like, nothing to see here. Yeah, that's why I'm having trouble, because we all saw that Tyreek Hill injury. It looks much more severe than just a year, and he'll be back to normal.
And the thing that people were confused by, and it might have just been Drew not speaking correctly since he's not a doctor, but he said that the ligaments went back into place naturally during this thing, which no one knows what that means, medically or just like through English sentences.
They just snap back into place.
It was a dislocation, so he's saying the knee, when you put the knee back in, it kind of fell into place.
That has to be what he meant, because I had a shoulder dislocation. It will go back into place the first time it happens sometimes. So I assume that's what he meant, because there's no way you can't repair a ligament. Doesn't just repair
on
itself.
Snap, right?
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
The shoulder, when the shoulder gets out of its socket, sometimes it goes back and you're totally fine and you go right back in the game.
That happened to me. Yeah,
I just love that Drew Rosenhaus has to come in and do all this medical update, because I don't think they trust Mike McDaniel to stand up at a press conference and deliver this news.
Oh, well, I don't think that's why. I don't think the Dolphins are not claiming Tyreek Hill anymore. They want nothing to do with
this.
I don't even know if they want Mike McDaniel, but they definitely. They were like, when he said he could come back in a year, that I don't think that's to Miami.
No, I was surprised they actually didn't flash Drew Rosenhaus's cell phone at the bottom of the screen when he's talking, so you can just call me.
Yeah,
I'm not
that was
sure the Dolphins sent their doctor to do this.
Oh, really? Yeah,
I don't know. It's like, it's very weird. Like, there was another thing that people pointing out is like that he went to a regular hospital and had this all done within a day. That, because a lot of times with ACL surgery, you let swelling go down, you don't do things right away. And sometimes you get the, it was done by Dr. blah, blah, blah. Like
Neil Elitrosh.
Right, exactly.
And James Andrews. We get all the celebrity doctors.
Right. But that's the thing, this is the noted sports hernia surgery guy. And this would just seem to be like whoever was on rotation yesterday.
Yeah, like an ER doctor.
What's the line from Fletch, Dr. Rosen? He's pretending to be a doctor. I think Drew Rosenhaus, this game was in South Florida. They're going to have orthopedic surgeons on speed dial.
No, I don't think it's that simple. This is a high level elite athlete.
Usually
you go to Neil Elitrosh. James Andrews.
But he's in LA.
Is retired. I know. I'm surprised actually that they didn't fly him to LA to do this.
I wonder if the dislocation kind of led to some of this like urgency. Yeah. But then it's weird when you hear rumors and how say, well, it went back in place by itself. So why was there the urgency?
Well, they did. He got in an ambulance and went straight to the hospital during the game, right? So and, obviously that was a big deal.
And what's his name? Dr. Chow said, the other the Twitter famous doctor. Twitter doctor, that if there was real damage, he would have had surgery that night. Like, if they were concerned about arteries and stuff like that. So the fact that they didn't have surgery until the following day was actually good news.
I'm going to do my top five celebrity sports doctors after the break. I'm ranking them.
I got two. I can't go deeper than two.
I got 100.
100?
This is hard list to whittle down. Just off the top of the
dome. Do you guys know more than
I'm going to do it next.
So there's...
No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name a name.
Please.
But I think I know a name of the guy that you go to when you have like sports hernia surgery.
Oh, really?
I think he's actually in Philadelphia.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah. All right. After the break, my top five sports doctors of all time.
Wow. Can't leave your car for that one. Maggie's top five sports doctors of all time.
Oh, who cares?
I've been working on this list for months, just waiting for the one moment.
I mean, you are very happy to be doing it right now.
I'm back of the envelope. I've been waiting my whole life for this. This is working in sports for 20 years. This is like the test. I feel like I'm going to ace. Also, Brock Purdy is a toe. I'll tell you who he saw yesterday.
Dr. Scholl.
I wish America could see the look on Pearl's face when you said that. He was so befuddled. Head,
can you put a sensor in a butt cheek?
Oh, somebody does have a butt injury.
Yeah.
We'll get to that also. Maggie and Perloff Show.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. Before I get to my top five greatest sports doctors of all time, which I'm sure everyone's on the edge of their seat for, quickly, Sean is in Atlanta. We were asking, should Shedeur Sanders be starting over Dylan Gabriel? You got the Cleveland Browns reportedly making quarterback change. What's up, Sean?
Good morning. I agree with you, Maggie. Perloff, you're showing me that I don't know how much you know about football.
Okay.
It's clear to me anyway. That Shedeur has the higher ceiling. I seen it in college. I seen it in the very first game he played in the preseason. And I don't look at his second preseason start as anything. He was behind a lot of people, went back to being janitors on the offensive line. No time to throw. I throw that out. Put Dillon Gabriel in that also. They have Gabriel throwing dump-off short passes. Mm-hmm. Shador has the whole passing field that he can throw to. The first game he played was so impressive.
Well, Sean,
he has the higher ceiling.
Sean, you watched Shador at Colorado, presumably, right? He always he always tried to extend plays and make a play, in part because he needed to. But that's not, and same thing's happened to Cam Ward in Tennessee. That's not going to work in the NFL. You know, the Shador, and everyone says he's not athletic, which I always thought was kind of weird because he definitely can scramble. There's no doubt about it. He keeps playing as alive forever. The problem is for both Cam Ward and Shador, and I said this last year, they hold on the ball forever. And it's in the NFL, you can't do that. You could get away with it in college, especially if you have kind of a weaker schedule.
Well, Caleb Williams, I think, is also the poster child for that. He took so many sacks. And thank you, Sean, for the phone call. Well, you saw it a little with Jackson Dart in his first start. He got beat up because he was also trying to scramble. And it was actually a lot more design runs, but he was getting really beat up as well. But Pearl, here's the thing. Dillon Gabriel is also going to get...
No, that's the thing about Dillon Gabriel, presumably, if everything works right, he's going to get the ball out of his hand immediately. That's what everyone says. Like, he's going to run Kevin Stefanski's system and just throw quickly to avoid the rush.
He better, but it's also his first NFL start. So, you know, there could be some...
That's why Cleveland has Dillon Gabriel ahead of Shador Sanders on the depth chart, because he runs the offense better.
See, I think that the Browns have... Not no rhyme or reason to who's where and what's going on. I just don't trust them. Jeff's in Minnesota. Jeff, you're not feeling great about your Vikings. Now you're facing a rookie QB.
Well, thanks, Maggie, for reminding me. I appreciate that. You're very nice.
That's the facts. You're good.
I know. If I could quote Denny Green, they were who we thought they were. And
they are who we thought they were.
Exactly. Thank you, Denny. And God bless you. I tell you, this high ankle sprain that McCarthy has is going to haunt him for the next coming months. I hate to say this, but I wish he would have just broke it. They could repair it, and he'd be ready to go in 2 months. But he's going to feel this for a long time. And I wish we had playmakers on the Vikings. You know,
what are you, crazy? You've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. What do you mean you don't have playmakers?
He's being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
Sorry, I bit that one.
Yeah, you know, have to be up here in Minnesota so we can just get through the 8:30 in the morning game. But I'm not looking forward to this Sunday. I think this is going to be the European tour of death for the Vikings.
Oh, my gosh, Jeff. No, you're in a good spot. And now I don't know what Jeff was, sarcastic, not sarcastic. I feel like a rube. But your team's already acclimated. They're already over there.
Yeah.
The novelty of it. You got guys who probably have never been overseas before. You know, you're acclimated. You're in. You have a way big advantage in this game.
Oh, I think you have a major, major problem coming around that edge at 1,000 miles an hour named Myles Garrett. The Vikings O-line, you know, they tried to throw some money at it this offseason, but they are now have so many injuries to deal with after last week, especially with Ryan Kelly getting hurt. So I think this is going to be a very scary game. Also, I worry about Jordan Mason, who's their backup running back who's playing. He seems to have a big fumble coming. His ball security makes me very nervous. Tries to extend runs. Yeah, this is not an ideal situation for either team. I don't think like either team looks like they're headed to good places.
So J.J. McCarthy did practice this week after he had not practiced since that Week 2 loss to the Falcons. All right, quickly. We're talking a lot about injuries. I have my top 5 greatest sports doctors of all time. Okay. I have an also receiving votes here. I'll take the drum roll now. So I have the also receiving votes. I couldn't ascertain, Pearl, if he's actually a doctor. The guy who wrote Inner Excellence, the A.J. Brown book that he was reading on the sideline, Jim Murphy.
He's a sports doctor?
Well, I don't know if he's a sports psychologist. I could not tell whether or not he was a doctor. So instead, I'll put him also receiving votes. Number 5 is a guy named Robert Nedefer, who wrote the book The Inner Athlete. It's like one of the first big sports psychology books. He's number 5 on my list of most famous sports doctors. Number 4.
Okay.
I got to think about your holistic health here.
All right,
the brain matters, guys. Yeah. Number four on my list is our friend Dr. Rock Positano.
Hell yeah.
Been on the show many times, always brings a live foot of his assistant, Kaylee.
Got a Dodgers championship ring from last year and probably get another one.
Fantastic. Number three on my list is Dr. Neil Eletrosh, Aaron Rodgers guru, made it into the Aaron Rodgers documentary Enigma. Number three is Dr. Frank Job, the man who performed the first Tommy John surgery on Tommy John. And of course,
fitting,
the number one sports doctor of all time, the GOAT, the legend, Dr. James Andrews. Anytime Dr. James Andrews is in an article or mentioned, certain doom. But also recovery. So there you go. How's my list?
Oh, it's great. I love all those guys. I met James Andrew at an Auburn game. I assume he's retired by now. Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know about the sports psychologist. That's a whole different field.
Coming up next, great debate.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Houston, when the game's on the line, you trust the Texans to deliver. When your life's on the line after an accident, trust the official personal injury attorney of the Houston Texans, Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Insurance companies have a game plan, and so do we. We fight for your rights, your recovery, and your results. After an accident, before you call the insurance company, call Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Sheriff Injury Law Firm, proud partner of the Houston Texans. Houston's choice for real, relentless results. Go to www.callthesheriff.com.